Go ahead and take your Bibles this morning. Open up to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number 15 this morning. I know we've been talking about hope for a number of weeks. This week we're going to take off a week from doing the hope series. We have one more message left in the hope series if the Lord allows me to preach it. But this morning there was a question that God brought to my heart. And something I think the Lord laid upon my heart for us to preach about here. Luke chapter number 15. We're going to look at verses 11 through 32 in just a second. We have the story of the prodigal son here. And most of us know the story. It's a long passage of scripture. A lot of things we want to cover this morning. But there's some things I'd like us to get to and understand about this story. And I want to pull something out of it. And then we'll read the story in just a few minutes. You remember where the prodigal son was, the younger son, went to his dad and said, "Dad, give me all I have coming to me." He went out into a far country, and the Bible says he went and did riotous living. He spent all his money and lost the famine, came, and he came to the spot where, as a Jewish young man, had to sit and feed the swine. And the Bible says in verse number 17, "And when he came to himself, he said," and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is this question, "How did I get here? How did I get here?" Now, the title of the message is, "How did I get here?" And so here's the thought that we're going to try to portray this morning. Hopefully we can get and understand is many times in our Christian lives, we get to a certain spot and we look around, and because we've allowed sin into our heart and sin in our lives, and we've seen the circumstances, and we just say to ourselves, "How in the world did I get here? How in the world did I end up in such a mess?" Now, to give you a couple helpful hints to help you along with the way that we're going for the message. Number one, when we say, "How did I get here?" I'm not talking about, how did I get here, like mom, born, son, child. I'm not talking about pregnancy. I'm not talking about that. I'm not even talking about how did I get here and the idea that God created the heaven and the earth. I mean, we're not talking about evolution today versus that. And when we talk about the different problems that we have in our lives, and we look around at our lives and look at different aspects of our spiritual life and say, "How in the world did I get to this spot?" We're not talking about sometimes how God allows people to go through certain things to strengthen them. This morning, what we're looking at is when we allow sin into our hearts and our lives, where sin can take us, and in the end, we get done and we say, "How did I get here?" That's what happened to the prodigal son here. He got to this point in his life, and he's there. He's feeding the pigs, and he's like, comes to himself, the Bible says. Pretty much what he's saying, "How did I get here?" Now, there's lots of people in the Bible that you hear, and the Bible paints beautiful pictures about how God uses some people mightily. I mean, you hear the stories about how God comes upon a person, and God uses them mightily, and you hear stories, you're like, "That's what I want to be. That's what I want to do." But the Bible also paints many, many pictures about sometimes how sin has taken somebody farther than they ever wanted to go, how sin cost them more than they ever thought was going to cost them. And you see many pictures of great, even some great heroes of the Bible. Think about Samson. Samson was the guy that, they say he's a big guy, but I think he was probably just a normal-sized guy, and the Spirit of the Lord would come in there, and what did he do? He was able to have extra powerful strength and did great things. Where did Samson end up? He ended up with his eyes plucked out, working in some type of mill. You know, I'm sure as he's grinding that wheat, like the same way that the animal would usually use, you know what, I'm sure he could say, "How in the world did I get here?" You think about Jonah, and he's in the belly of the whale because Jonah hated the Assyrians so much, he did not want to go and preached the gospel to the city of Nineveh. He got so angry at them. He did not want to do what God wanted to do. Where did he end up? He ends up in the belly of the whale. You know what happens? He says, "How did I get here?" You think about Joseph's brothers. Remember Joseph's brothers, the one that because of the father's favoritism and because of their anger about Joseph and because of the fact that they couldn't even speak peacefully to him, they take him, they sell him into a trade market and slave trade market and take his dad home, his ripped up coat covered by blood. And they're there and they're going to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's number two man asking for bread because of the great famine. And Joseph, who's the second one in charge, says, you're spies. And he begins to tell them, you need this, this, and this. And what do they turn around and say? you know what? This has happened to us because of what we did to our brothers. He says, how did I get there? You think about some more stories. You think about Abraham when he lied about Sarah. And he's there and the king takes Sarah home to be his wife. And Abraham's probably sitting at home that night all by himself. And he's saying, how in the world did I get here? Think about the story of Lot. And last week we talked about the beautiful story about how on Sunday night message, how a man or a visitor would come up and talk to Hosea and Gomer about how beautiful their family is. Think about Lot at the end of his life. He comes up and he sees Lot's daughters there and Lot's grandchildren, but also that are his children because of that incest relationship. And he's sitting there and he's thinking he's lost his wife. He's lost. How did he get there? And the Bible talks about person after person. You imagine Achan who stole that things from Jericho. The moment before he was getting ready to be stoned to death, and his wife is wondering, why in the world would you ever do that? Achan's probably saying to himself, how did I get there? Judas, as after he sells Jesus for those measly pieces of silver, he goes to the chief priest and he throws the money back and he says he sinned because he's offended the innocent blood. I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And he got to the point where he says, how did I get here? You think about David. His son is dying in the other room and he's begging God for mercy, begging God to let the son to live and him to die because of the affair he had with Bathsheba. And I can only imagine in his heart and his mind, he's asking, how did I get here? You think about Cain as God's coming and asking him, where's his brother at? And he's being judged and condemned because of the fact he killed his only brother. How did he get there? You know, sin doesn't usually just happen overnight. Sin starts little by little. And as sin starts little by little, it builds up a stronghold in your life. And as it builds a stronghold up in life, sometimes you end up and you turn around and you look around at the circumstances and you say, I never intended for this to happen. How did I get here? This morning, I would like for you to take a good look inside yourself and ask yourself that question. Now, you say, Pastor, I'm definitely no prodigal son, and I'm definitely not in some type of pigsty. I'm definitely not feeding husk to pigs. This doesn't apply to me. Well, the first point is, the first thing you have to determine in your own heart and your own life is, where is here? The prodigal son here, his story, as we look at it, it starts off with something basic, something normal, something that many kids today do. They think about themselves more than they think about their parents. They're selfish. I think the number one problem in homes today is the fact that people are selfish. Not just children, not just husbands, not just wives. People are out looking for what is best for them. You know, what can I get out of the relationship instead of what I can put into the relationship? I think that's the number one problem. That's what happens when people commit adultery. It's because they're only not caring about their wife or caring about their husband. They're only caring about themselves. When children rebel, they're caring about themselves. When husbands mistreat their wives and they treat themselves better than they treat their wives, which is contrary to the Bible, they're being selfish. They care about themselves. When wives want to take the authority and try to manipulate things, they're caring about themselves and their own interests. That's what happens here in Luke chapter number 15. Let's look here in verse number 11. It says, we're going to read the whole story, and then we're going to make some comments about it here. It says, Luke 15, verse number 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me, once again, he's being selfish here, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto him his living. Before you can condemn the son, think about the Jewish culture of that day. For this young man to go to his father and say, give me the portion of goods that befalleth me, what he was doing is he was saying to him, I don't think you're going to take care of me the way you should. I'm not willing to wait till after you die. I want you to give me what is coming to me now because I don't like the way you're taking care of me. So not only is this a slap in the father's face, but the whole community knows that this younger son was saying that that younger son does not have the respect and does not have the concern for his father, that he is being selfish and says, I'm tired of you, I'm tired of your rules, I don't want to live the way you want me to live, give me what I deserve, I'm leaving. So he's being selfish there. You say, in our day, in our culture, we might not understand that. And in our day, in our culture, if a father is rich, a child might come to a father and say, hey, Dad, I know you're going to leave me an inheritance. Can I have a portion of that now to help me get started? That's not what the young man's doing here. The young man is saying, I am tired of you. I am tired of the way you treat me. I'm tired of the things that you want me to do. I'm not willing to wait for what I deserve. I want it now. So we continue here. We see that he's selfish. But that's where it begins. You can imagine, it didn't begin that day. For him to go do that to his dad, it had to be introduced into his heart long before that. He had to start looking around and saying, hey, I don't like it when Dad tells me to do this. I don't like it when Dad spends his money this way. I don't like it when it's none of his business what his dad does. It's his money, the dad's money. And he's becoming selfish, and something's happening in his heart. It might be little things where he wants to be lazy. It might be little things where he becomes a little jealous about the older brother. It might be little things where the devil has sown seeds of discord inside his heart till the day comes where it births this great sin of disrespecting his father and asking for this money, which was a shame given to his dad. But that's just where it begins. He thinks, I'll get my money. I'll go out and have a good time, but I'm going to be able to take care of myself. I'll be just fine. But we see that sin takes him farther than he ever thought he would go. It says in verse number 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. What's the far country? Far country is a place where you think that you don't have to go. You can go someplace where you don't have to follow God's rules. A far country is a place where you think you can run away from God and run away from responsibilities and you can live whatever way you want and no one's going to care. The far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous livings. So he wastes the substance he has that he was given. And when he has spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land and he began to be in want. So we hear as the story goes, and most people, you hear preachers talk about how, you know, what riotous living is and how he went out and lived it up in the, you know, the bars and nightclubs and with the women and things like that. The Bible doesn't especially tell us what it was, but it was an worthless living. And the famine came up and he became hungry and he went and joined himself in verse 15 to a citizen of that country and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would faint, had filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. This young man who had a wealthy fortune went and he spends this money and he gets to the point where he has spent it all. And after he spent all his money on his friends, what happens now? Money's gone. Money's dried up and all his friends are gone too. And in this story, you see that he becomes hungry. He has no way to support himself. He goes and he asks and he joins himself with a certain citizen. And they give him a job that's a disgrace to him because as a Jew, he's not supposed to be around pigs. He's feeding pigs. And in verse number 16, it talks about how he actually fed himself. He would have fainted if he had not fed himself with the husk that the pigs did eat. He was eating the pig's food. And he says, no man gave unto him. No man was willing to help him. Verse number 17, this young man is desperate. And the Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. You know what he's saying? How in the world did I get here? He looks around, he sees the pigs there, he sees what he's eating, he's sitting in the mud, he's sitting in the mire as he's getting ready to toss the buckets up of the food that was left over, the trash. He's picking through it to find food for himself. And he's at a desperate spot and he says, how did I get here? Let's keep on going and see what happens. He realizes in verse 17 that things are better at his father's house. Verse number 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So we see here that he comes to himself. He realizes that he's offended his father. He rehearses what he's going to say. In verse number 20, he returns to his daddy, and he rose and came to the father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. We see that the father is watching for him to return. And as he sees him, he runs to him and kisses him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. What is he doing? He's repenting here. He's asking for forgiveness. He's asking to be restored, but not as his son, but as a servant. And the Bible says in verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. So the father accepts the son's apology. He's willing to restore him, not as a servant, but instead as a child. And in verse number 25, you see the elder son come into the picture. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. I want you to take notice here that what's wrong with this young man? He's looking at only his own feelings. He's also being selfish here. Verse number 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. I was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And what the Bible is saying here is that the father says he was justified. It's what he should have done. This morning, when we look at this and understand this, I want us to understand where the young man was at. He got to the spot in his life where he says, how did I get here? And sometimes when we look at what sin has done to us, and I don't know what your story is or what you may struggle with, or maybe you're not struggling with anything now, and then praise the Lord. You can thank the Lord from where you came from, where the Lord brought you, and where he put you up to and restored you back into the family. But my thought is, I don't know about you, but sin devastates people. You can imagine the drunkard after he gets done drinking away his paycheck for the week. You know, when it all is said and done, you have the aftermath, and the idea is, how did I get here? How did I get here when you turn around and you yell at your children, and you get so angry and so mad at your mate, you treat them badly, and you treat them wrongly. And you said, how did I get here? Why in the world does these circumstances in my life today? This morning, I want you to understand that it's sin and what sin can and what sin will do for you and to you. Let's go ahead and have the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us this morning. Lord, help us as we look at this story. Help us to be reminded of the many, many things, examples in the Bible that teach us where sin takes us, how it can take a toll on us. And then in the end, when sin has done its finished work in us, we turn around and ask the question, how in the world did I get here? Well, I pray you help us this morning. Lord, I pray you just give me the words that you once said. In Jesus' name, amen. This past week, I was reading through a track of a personal testimony. This gentleman wrote these words. He said, I became a teenager. Something gradually began to change inside of me. He had given the testimony earlier that he had been saved at a young age. He said, sports became the obsession of my life. Little by little, I put self before the Lord, and I began running towards the tragedy and a deadline with God. Now, as I began to think about it, when I read that track and I was looking over, and you say, Pastor, what are you reading your track for? You're saved already. Well, I was interested in this man's testimony, interested how he said he grew up in a pastor's home, and he said, I was living for God. God had called me into a ministry even, but when I became a teenager, something changed. He said, little by little, I start putting myself before God. I start putting myself before God. I want you to miss that, because that's where it starts. You say, Pastor, what's really wrong with just putting yourself every once in a while before God? See, when you put yourself before God, little by little, you know what happens? You start caring more about what you think than what God thinks. And that's what happens with this story of the prodigal son. This young man stopped putting his dad's desires ahead of his desires. He starts living for himself. He starts saying, hey, how does this affect me? hey, what am I going to get out of this? And it came to the point where he says, I no longer want my dad's rules. I no longer want what my dad has to offer. I just want what I can get from my dad, and I'm leaving. And this story, the prodigal son is a wayward Christian, and the prodigal father is a representation of God. And the idea is that we ourselves, when we start getting stuck on ourselves and we want things our own way and we want things the way that we want it, and we only see things the way that it affects us, and we stop caring about what God wants and how God affects us and how it affects God, that's when we become like the prodigal. Yeah, it might start with something little, but it grows and grows to where it becomes righteous living, till it comes to the point where we find ourselves sitting in the pigsty. Point number one was, I'd like for you to ask yourself this question, where is here? Say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, the idea of the message is, how did I get here? Where are you at today? That's the main thing I would like for you to take a little look inside yourself and deep inside. And I know that most people here today would profess to be Christians. Most people have been in church all their lives. And I tell you, and it's important to preach gospel messages, but it's also important to speak to the Christians and to those that are saved. And I tell you, the question I like for the people that are saved today here to ask yourself this, where are you at? In your Christian life, where is here today? Now, how is your walk with the Lord? And maybe you are walking with the Lord. Maybe you are walking in the light. Maybe you do have good fellowship. Praise the Lord if you're there, because I know I can almost guarantee there's been some time in your life where you found yourself in the pigsty and you knew you needed to get out of it. You knew you needed to get right. Are you living for God or are you living for self? Where is here when it comes to your family? You know, sometimes we turn around and we raise our kids and we do all we can and we sit back and we watch our kids grow up and we turn around and we see the relationship with our families and these years that seem like they're supposed to last so long, they just go so fast. And you turn around and you look around and say, well, my relationship with my wife isn't the way it's supposed to be. My kids, they don't listen to me the way that I thought they should. For some reason, that youngest one doesn't even enjoy church. Some reason, doesn't even seem like they like me. You know, when it comes to your family, where is here today? I mean, I'm just saying that. I know that most of you say, well, I'm not in the pigsty, but are you headed that way when it comes to your family? Because I know that here is a trouble for some people. Husbands and wives that don't get together, that don't get along, that don't even like each other or enjoy each other. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's the beginning things you need to take a look at. Kids that don't want to obey their parents. Kids that don't want to respect their parents. Children that don't want to respect authority. That's the starting points of where sin can take you. See, this is what happens as he came about self. I want you to ask yourself, when it comes to your family, where are you at? When it comes to your relationship with God, do you enjoy coming to church? Do you enjoy reading your Bible? Do you enjoy praying? Do you enjoy doing the things he's asked you to do? Is the relationship that you have with God what you think it should be? What about your relationship with others? What about your financial relationships? Your prayer life? What about all these things? When you look at yourself, look deep down inside, is there not a spot in your life where you can say, I don't really understand how I got here? And that's the question I want you to ask. Where is here? Second thing I want you to think about is how you got here, or how you got there, whatever way you want to write it. How you got there. You say, okay, Pastor, you got my attention here. Things are not right in some area of my life. It might be your family, it might be finances, it might be church related, it might be a relationship with God, it might be a relationship with your friends, it might be a relationship, and you turn around and say, how in the world did I get here? That's a good question to ask. How did you get there? See, the boy ended up in the pigsty. We see in verse number 12 where it began, though. It began when he said, I want more for myself than I care about my father's interests. How do we end up here? It begins with putting ourselves before God. Also, you know what it begins with? It begins with believing a lie. You know, you have an enemy. We've talked about this before. You have an enemy. That enemy is the devil. We read through that passage. We read through all those characters in the Bible. And you know what those characters in the Bible all said? I did not think it was going to cost me that much. I didn't think I would ever turn out that way. I did not ever think it could happen to me. And they started messing with sin. It was like Peter that stood before Jesus and says, I'll never deny you. That will never, ever happen to me. And before the end of that night, three times, what does he do? He denies Christ. It's like Lot, who thought about himself, and he made up the excuse, and he says, hey, I'm just doing it for my family. I know I'm not considering Abraham. I know I'm not considering God, but this is what's best for my family. He makes a lie up, and he, you know what? He opens up his tents right towards Sodom. What happens? It's like Samson, who had the power of God, unlike any other man in the Old Testament, the actual power and strength. You know what he said? I had to find myself a woman. And he went looking in the wrong spots. He thought, I'm so strong, I'm so powerful, that stuff is never going to hurt me. You know, Abraham, the friend of God, thought that, did not trust God to take care of him when the king came and says, is that your sister or is that your wife? You see, these little things that start off maybe with fear or start off with anger like Jonah had toward the Assyrians, little sins that have grown and grown to the point that you come and you say, why in the world am I here today? It's because you didn't deal with the sin back then. See, the devil is a liar. He will do what he can to destroy you. He will use doubt because he wants you to question God's word and his goodness. He will use discouragement because he wants you to look at your problems rather than God. He will use diversion because he attempts to make the wrong things attractive to you so your appetites will be turned from godliness. He will use defeat because he wants you to feel like a failure so you don't even try. He will use delay because he wants you to put off doing what the Holy Spirit has prompted you to do so nothing ever gets done. This is how you get here, is by listening to the devil and his lies. He'll say, he'll help you say, those things will never happen to me. He'll help you say, well, I can wait till tomorrow to serve God. He'll help you to say, God is trying to take my fun away. And you believe those lies. That's how you get there. This young man, he woke up in a pigsty because of the fact he cared more about himself than his father. That's where here was for him. And the last question is, are you going to stay there? I like this story, and it's a wonderful story, and it is a parable. I don't think it actually is referring to an actual story that happened. I think it's a parable. It gives the illustration of what happens here. Maybe there is a father that's like this, maybe there is two sons. But the question is, it's important, is are you going to stay there? You come to this point, and you say, Pastor, I am somewhere in my life where I know I'm not supposed to be. I am not completely right with God. In some area of my life, I have made a mess. I've made a muck. I made a ruin. And I'm sitting in the pigsty. Either that or I'm headed right towards that pigsty. And I know I got a problem. I know that I need to fix it. The question is, are you going to stay there today? Are you going to get it right? The great thing about this young man was he returned home. He had a heavenly father that was sitting there waiting for him. God, verse number 20, and it says, and he arose. He wasn't going to stay there. He was there long enough. He wasted all his money. He never got right. He was going through a famine. He went to all his friends. No one was helping him, willing to help him. He would not get right. It wasn't until God had let him hit rock bottom, and he finally gets right, and he says, okay, things are better with the Father. And Christians today, I don't know where you're at, but things are better with the Father. I don't know where here is for you, but things are better with the Father. You turn around, you end up hearing stories and seeing stories of people living together or teenage pregnancies or people going out and doing wild things. They used to be church members. They used to be faithful. They used to be this. They used to be that. And things have gone haywire. Things have gone wrong. And they turn around and they say, how in the world did I get here? You got here because of the devil. The question is, are you going to stay there? Are you going to stay where you're at? Are you away from God today? Is the fellowship not there where it's supposed to be? Are you going to stay like that, or are you going to get it right? So this young man said, I will rise and go to my father. And that's what we need to hear. Some people say, you know what? There are some things in my life that I need to get straight, and I will get up, and I will go to my father. I will go to him. I'm tired of things not being right. I'm tired of being here. I know how I got here. It was because the devil got on me. The devil tricked me. The devil did this to me. I bought into his lies. I listened to him just like Eve listened to him. I listened to him just like Samson listened to him. I listened to him just like all those other guys. And they ended up being in the pigsty. Question is, are you going to stay there? read the story. He says, in verse number 20, and he rose and came to his father. And that's all you have to do. You have to admit that you've done wrong, as we saw in verses 18 and 19. And you have to say, I'm just going to go back to God. And see what the amazing thing is? God's waiting to receive you. Look what it says in verse number 20. But when he was yet a great way off, what the Bible's saying is the first time you make a movement to God, the first time you want to get it right, the first time you say in your heart, I know I've done wrong. I know I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. I want to get this right. As soon as you make that movement, as soon as you begin to draw nigh to him, God draws nigh to you. It says that when he was afar off, the Bible says, a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Isn't that awesome? That's what God is willing to do with you when you confess your sins. He wants to restore the fellowship with you. Even when you're far off, and he say, I want to get right. I want to make it right. I want to return back to the Father. He's willing to be there. Verse 21, and his son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. And I say, and that's all that God needs to hear. His saying, God, I know I've sinned. I know I've done wrong. The Bible says if we confess our sins, what does confess means? We agree with God. I know I've sinned. I know I've sinned in thy sight. He's saying, I know that I've done wrong. And then you want to forsake it. You want to change it. Sin against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And what he's saying is, I know I've done wrong. I know I can not continue on doing it anymore. And the father, how does the father respond? What does the father say? You're right. You shouldn't be my father. You shouldn't be my son anymore. You should be my servant. No, he doesn't even listen to him. Instead, he says, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and his shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, you think about this, and we're almost done here. I'd just like you to focus just for a few minutes. I don't know why God laid this sermon upon my heart, but I know he did this past week. When I read that man's testimony, where he says, little by little, I started putting myself before God, and that headed me right to the pathway of destruction. It's a wonderful testimony. I'll give you the track. It's really interesting. And I thought to myself, and the Holy Spirit, God said, that's what you need to talk about. And the thought is that, as Christians, many times we put, little by little, we put ourselves before God, and it takes us right to a pathway of sin where we end up in the pigsty and we never even know how we got there. We look around us and there's destruction all around us and there's a mess all around us and we just don't have the relationship with God that we want. We don't have the power of God on our life. Our prayer life is non-existence. Our Bible reading is done out of tradition and done out of because we feel like we have to. And there's something wrong, and we don't know how we got there, but it's when we start putting ourselves before God's desires, little by little, we put self. We chose me instead of God. Two choices on the shelf, God or self. Which one will you choose today? Many of us have chose self, and we're there. We're away from it. Our families aren't the way they're supposed to be. Our finances are not the way they're supposed to be. Our love for God's not the way it's supposed to be. The question is, are you going to stay there? And I don't know what it is that you struggle with or what it is. I'm not going to tell you what I struggle with. But I do know that God wants you to return to him. God was looking for the prodigal son to return. He was looking for his child to return. And when he returned, he is accepted and put right back in that position of fellowship. Isn't that wonderful? We have hope because of the fact that God is willing to forgive our sins. God is willing to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're doing today, God is willing to forgive you. I think that's amazing. Now, if you go in the story, you got the older son. The older son gets mad. What does he do? He gets all upset because of the fact that dad never did this for him. What was the older son's problem? Well, he has a right because he was justified. His dad should have given him. No, he was thinking about himself. He did the same thing the younger brother did, just different results. He started saying, well, how does this affect me? How is this going to, what am I going to be able to get out of this? Why hasn't anybody ever done that to me? No. And here's the point of the older brother. One of the reasons why it's in the Bible is because when you come back to God, not everybody is going to stand up and cheer. Not everybody is going to think, oh, that's great. Oh, that's wonderful. You know what you're going to have? You're going to have people say, Well, he did all that wrong stuff. Why should he be accepted back in the family? Why should he get to get right? Why should he get to have that privilege? Or why should he be able to be a church member? Or why should he be able to be forgiven? Or why should, you know, you're going to have people out there that just tell you, hey, you don't belong. But you don't do it for them. You do it for God. God's the one that's waiting for you. God's the one that needs your forgiveness. You need God to forgive you. And this younger brother hadn't offended his brother. He had offended his father. Now, I understand what you're saying. The brother was not concerned about the father's testimony. I can understand why the brother would be upset with his brother for that, but that's not what he's worried about. What is he worried about? He's worried about, says, why haven't you done it for me? He's headed down the same pathway. He has let sin be implanted into his heart by the devil too, and has taken him into where he can't even go into the house. He makes his father come out to him and explain to himself to him. His father doesn't have any need to explain, just like God has no need to explain to us why he forgives others and God allows others. So you know what we need to do? We need to believe what God says and trust what God says. And when God says that a person's been forgiven, he's forgiven, and we treat him like he's been forgiven. Christians, where are you at today? That's the question. Where is here for you? Is there something in your heart and your life that you know that God has been dealing with you about, that you're falling away back from, you bought into the devil's lies, and you say, I need to get it right? The question is, why are you still there? You know, if you were an onlooker and say you came from say this guy's in Judah or Jerusalem, and he goes down to Samaria, and this is where he's doing his righteous living. If you're from Judah or Jerusalem, you go down to Samaria, and you see that guy sitting there in the pigsty with a corn husk sitting there, chewing on a corn husk, trying to feed his stomach up, and you're coming from his old town in Jerusalem, from the same neighborhood. He looks over and says, what are you doing there still? You got a father that's home looking for you every day, and you're sitting there wasting your life away in the pigsty, making a mess of yourself. Why don't you just go home? Why don't you just get right? Why don't you go and make things right with your father? Instead of saying, I don't know how I got here. I don't know why things are such a mess. And I don't know why everything is going wrong. This morning, I guess it's afternoon now, I want you to ask yourself this question. Where are you at in your Christian life? How did you get here was the next question. What lie or what sin led you down that pathway? God will show you if you ask him. Last but not least, why are you still there? Get up and come home. Go back to the Father. Ask for forgiveness. He's waiting to forgive you. He's waiting to restore that fellowship. That's the reason why he saved you. And last but not least, you know, there is a number of people today that's dead and in a horrible place called hell. And I think many of them are going to say, how did I get here? I did all these good things, God. I did the best I could. I lived for you as much as I could. How did I end up here? And if you're here this morning, you've never been saved. That's where you're going to end up. And the reason why you're going to end up that way is not because you were a horrible person, not because of the fact that you didn't do enough good works, not because of the fact that your mom and dad didn't teach you right. You're going to end up there is because you rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you do not want to end up in hell someday, do what the Bible tells you to. It says, recognize that you're a sinner, cry out to God, asking Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. Put your faith and trust in the fact that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and he rose again. And repent of your sins. And ask Jesus Christ to save you from them. And he will. So that way when you die and you get to go to heaven, you can say, thank goodness I'm here. This morning, how did I get here? It's a question that many times when people hit rock bottom, they look all around and they're like, I don't know how in the world I got here. I can tell you how you got there. You let some little sin in your life, and little by little, you put yourself before God. Because when you put yourself before God and God's ways, It heads you right down to a pathway of destruction. But why are you still there? You got a Heavenly Father that wants to forgive you and restore the fellowship. This morning, if you're still there, get it right. If you're on that pathway, get it right. There's something missing in your heart, missing in your life. Bring it to God. He wants to restore that fellowship. Let's go ahead and raise to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed.